Good evening, everyone. I would like to call to order the regular meeting of the school board for D303 for Monday, July 8th, 2018. Ms. Ratcher, will you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Fairkin?
Here.
Mrs. Thinkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim is absent. Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel is absent. Mrs. Yule?
Here. At this time, I have had a request by Member Weibel, who is recuperating and unable to be here today, and she would like to attend the meeting by conference call. If board members are so inclined, could I have a motion and a second, and then we'll have a vote? Does anyone wish to make that motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Yes. Is there any discussion about it? None heard. We'll go forward. Would you take the vote, please, Ms. Ratcher?
Mrs. Linkerman?
Abstain.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairkin?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries. So we will get Ms. Weibel on the phone, and then we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Hello, Ms. Weibel. The board voted to allow you to attend the meeting by conference call. So Ms. Weibel is in attendance at 7:01. Now we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Ms. Weibel, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
Good.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to thank you for letting me call in. As you all know on the board, I'm home on medical reasons, so I appreciate you letting me participate this way.
You're welcome. Thank you for being able to do this for the school board. The next item on the agenda are assistant comments, and I believe there are none. Dr. Pearson, do you have a superintendent's report?
I do. Even though it's summer, I think you know that it's a busy time in District 303, so I just wanted to update the board on just a couple of things. You don't have to go far in the district to know that we do have quite a bit of construction going on, and things are going very well. We did have quite a bit of rain in June, which was not helpful in some of our projects, but our teams are working really hard to get things completed in time for the start of the school year, and things are looking really all of those projects are going really well. So as you know, we do an update at Business Services that's more in detail about construction, but I wanted you to know that things are on track. I also wanted just to update you. I think you also know that many of our staff members work in the summer to participate in professional learning opportunities here in our district. It's something that we're very proud of. Most of our professional learning is teacher-led, teacher-initiated and teacher-led. Many of our staff members provide that training for other educators, you know, they have choices to make. This is their time, and they get to choose. And so this summer, we had 625 of our educators sign up to participate in at least one of our professional learning courses. There are 32 different courses that are being offered across the whole gamut of our curriculum, everything from social studies to assessment, to math, to reading, to writing. And so the courses started on June 5th, and most will end in August. They have all different formats, some are week-long, some are all summer long. There's some blended formats as well. So I just thought it was important to mention that we had that many teachers take advantage of our professional learning opportunities this summer, and I think it speaks to the quality and also to their commitment and professionalism to take their time in the summer to do that work. I also like to have Mrs. Galt do one introduction for you today. We have one new administrator that we would like to introduce. Ms. Galt.
Yes. So this evening we have Mrs. Susie Wagner with us, and she is going to with your approval, take on the role of Associate Director of Instruction. And so she will be, the role really is to take on what Megan Muckerchin had done for us in the past. And so she has big shoes to fill, but we're super excited to have her. She has a strong background in instructional technology, as well as curriculum instruction and assessment, and has been an instructional coach, has served at the district level in another district. And so we're just really excited that you selected St. Charles.
Thank you. I'm Susie Wagner. I come with 16 years of experience from the Hinsdale School District, and I loved working there, and I'm really excited to work with the St. Charles community.
Thank you. Thanks, Susie. Thank you. And that completes the superintendent's report. Thank you, Ms. Yule.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome. The next item on the agenda are the committee reports.
Why not?
Yes, let's go. Yeah, please learning learning and policy. How about policy? It dominates our agenda today.
It doesn't actually help.
This is what happens when you have a policy meeting and you cut down a sequoia. I just want you to see how this looks. You're going to hear one policy go through action tonight, and that is policy 6150, home and hospital instruction. But additionally to that, we believe there were, where's Mr. Moore, 35 policies we went through, I believe. And not all of them, except this one, are going to go through action. The rest are going to be going tonight through consent agenda. But there are a couple that I just wanted to mention. Policy 470 on resource conservation. We talked about paper that night, and we are to buy, do our best to conserve all things, but buy reconstituted paper if indeed it is cheaper, and we kind of had that conversation about how it usually isn't, but it is in there. Policy 4170 on safety, purposes of all the drills that we do in district, including putting lead testing out there is something we test, and we are ahead of the curve on that. We actually did that before it became policy. Policy 520 on workplace harassment, talking, making sure that everyone has a safe person to go to make any type of complaint, person of same gender or a person that they are more comfortable speaking with than others, but also making sure that we know who the coordinator and the complaint managers are. Policy 660 of curriculum content, making sure that we have at least one unit of cursive offered by the end of fifth grade every year. Policy 6240, the differences between field trips, recreational class trips, and privately arranged tours and trips. And that was something it was just good to delineate the difference between the three. Policy 720, harassment of students, again, looking for a person of gender or someone we are comfortable speaking with in order to share our concerns. One that brought a smile to many faces, policy 770, attendance and truancy, making sure that the children of our servicemen and women are allowed to have time to be with their parents when the parents come home or are being once again sent out. And finally, policy 7270, administering medicines in students, which was a discussion of EpiPens being held in nurses' offices across the district for cases of suspected anaphylactic shock. So please listen carefully to how policy 6150 comes down. I've done some research on that because of I knew it was coming up tonight, and my feelings on that policy have changed a little bit since our policy meeting. So please be listening for that one. And we did have one policy that we set aside that we asked Mr. Moore to come back with. I just gave you a promotion, I think. It was nice. It was easy. Someday, that you will be coming back to us at the next policy meeting with. So long meeting, always a good one, and always brings about good discussion.
I agree. Mr. McNally.
Learning and teaching. Okay. Starting out, we had recognition. Dr. Byrne, Associate Director of Curriculum, highlighted celebration in D303. 31 of our students are in the Project Synergy program, applied for internships at local businesses. All students received internships, and although it's a rather long list, I do think it's good to mention the local businesses that are providing internship opportunities for our students. So they are Mannheim Architecture, Advocate Sherman Hospital, Illinois Aviation Academy, Clark Aquatic and Mosquito Control Services, Trotter Incorporated of St. Charles, D303 IT Department, Hofer Plastics, Doran Scales, D303 Business Services, Smith & Richardson, and Bison Gear and Engineering. So that's great to have that kind of community involvement with that program. Next up was the elementary general music presentation for information, and I'm just going to go through the curriculum development team began in 2018-19 to define the goals. The general elementary general music in D303 is to be student-centered for all students, rigorous curriculum with clear learning targets, essential part of the K-5 education, balanced combination of learning and performance, high-quality instruction over performance quality, and equitable for all buildings. The National and Illinois Core Arts Anchor Standards, all four are to be balanced. That's creating, performing, responding, and connecting. And to promote balance, the curriculum design team is looking for validation of the new curriculum via pilot program in the 2018-19 year. Formal music performances for grades 1, 3, and 5, and informal performances will be available for grades K, 2, and 4. So it's going to be a slight reduction in the number of the public or formal performances, but they're going to try to keep the number of performances about the same, just fewer available for public viewing. K through 5 math resource implementation update. The instructional components of our K through 5 math program, Eureka math implementation, use of hands-on manipulatives and math representations, and the Happy Numbers personalized online supplement. Parental involvement via parent universities, homework helper, family math nights, parent-teacher conference math activities, and math with Munchkins morning activities. Teachers were polled, and the results were presented. They are they're in support of the program. And next up was academically talented program update and elementary AT math resource. There's only one page left, don't worry. Academically talented program update involved identification, programming for AT literacy, AT math, and Infinity, the AT matrix and AT enrollments, Infinity enrollments, and the completions of Algebra 1 in middle school, and the percentages of those have increased since 2014 every year. Elementary AT math resources, fourth grade Eureka math, we're moving from Mammoth math. There's a $3,161 cost for materials. Fifth grade open up resources, illustrative math, moving from Big Ideas, and that's going to be a cost of $1,026. And that's on for consent. Next up was accelerated placement program, and we first had a draft of the press version of the policy and then the draft of the D303 version of policy 6:135, and so a little bit more on policy here. Accelerated Placement Act requirements, not limited to those students identified as gifted, but available to all students who may benefit from accelerated placement. A fair process of identification involves multiple educators, includes parents and students, and a process for notifying parents, and also an assessment process that involves multiple indicators. Additional items in the law, districts must develop a procedure for annually informing the community about accelerated placement opportunities. Districts must develop a process for referral that allows for multiple referrers. Accelerated placement provides flexibility in the district. D303 opportunities currently are early entrance for kindergarten and first grade, compliant with Illinois school codes and administrative procedures, balanced literacy approach to instruction that meets needs of students at all reading levels, academically talented and literacy for grades 4 through 8, Infinity program and math literacy in math and literacy for 6th and 8th graders, 6th through 8th graders, accelerated math for 6th through 8th graders, and challenge by choice for 9th through 12th graders. And finally, accelerated college for 11th through 12th graders, Project Synergy for 9th through 12th graders, dual credit opportunities, and partnerships with ECC through articulated credit, tech prep, and middle college, which we've talked about quite a bit in the past. And there are some anticipated updates, further guidance from the ISBE, because there's still some things need to be, some kinks need to be worked out, I guess. Whole grade acceleration criteria and assessment, and other content areas possibly using the Iowa acceleration scale. So our next meeting is not going to be until August. We were going to meet in July. We have decided. For a couple of reasons. One, Mrs. Linkemer is not going to be available for the July meeting. And also, we potentially will be using that meeting time for the selection of the new school board member.
Do we have the August date yet?
What is that? That I do not know.
I don't know if that's been confirmed yet.
Because we haven't set the meeting dates yet. So,
okay.
But it's typically the Monday following the board meeting, so whatever that third Monday would be, probably.
It could be the 20th.
So, yeah, that would be the, yeah.
The 20th would be the third Monday.
Yeah. So, potentially the 20th, but we have not formalized that calendar yet. So, unfortunately, we did not have a lot of heavy items. We were able to move some to other committees. So, most of the items that were for discussion will be moved to other committees for discussion. And I think there was it one item left? I think one or two items left that we'll be bringing into August.
We have two.
Two items. I couldn't remember them. So that's it for me.
Very good. That's a good use of our time. Thank you. There was no community relations meeting. And that leaves business services, which always has a big agenda, but neither of the co-chairs are here today. So I thought I would just confirm that business services had items G on consent, had items I think maybe H through Q. They involve some licensing of software, the copy paper bids, some items L through N on Thompson Middle School's audiovisual and other construction, another technology to be put in, and cameras to be put in during construction, and other technology items, all on consent agenda. However, also the bigger items that were part of board discussion were on for actions, items C, D, and E, which we'll talk about a little bit later, C, D, E, and F, which we'll talk about during the action portion of the meeting. So that's what that committee worked on. And I think that's it for committee reports. I think I would just like to announce that Ms. Fairgrieve has told me that she is able to be the business services co-chair along with Nick Mannheim, and that will allow us now to fill out the rest of our slots for the committee assignments. So she was waiting to hear, I guess, get permission, and we're grateful you did, and she's the perfect person to fill in that chair. So thank you. That is the conclusion of committee reports. Next items are for action. The first is, may I have a motion on policy 6:150, home and hospital instruction.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Ms. Fairgrieve. Yeah. I have to be on our toes today. There aren't too many extra slots. Yes. Ms., I was the one that said I would want to have it pulled, but if you wanted to, Ms. Linkemer, you had said that you had some thoughts on this, and I'm anxious to hear that.
I believe you wanted it pulled. It had to do with the difference between the oath that a physician takes as opposed to, I have to get all the proper phrases here. Hold on. Physician's assistant or an advanced practice registered nurse. There was a difference in the oath that was taken to provide service. So that's why I wanted you to be able to explain this a little bit and why you had an issue, or I shouldn't say issue, you had a concern about how this policy was worded and going forward.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I guess it is based in my, you know, family roots of, you know, physicians and their duty to the community and their oath and their responsibility and their liability. And so I'm bothered when legislation comes up and just throws in some other, it gives a lot of responsibility to a couple of other job categories, which are important. But in our particular case, holding a child out of school or something, I don't think should be the purview of a physician's assistant that is just a person who's got 2 years after college. It just didn't seem like, if a child is sick, that's one thing, but it seems that they're given responsibility for holding a child out for any variety of reasons. And I didn't, it just didn't seem to be sufficiently responsible for something that important. So that's why I would be voting no and asked to have it put onto consent, I mean off of consent.
If I can, I was at that meeting, but I got there late, so I didn't hear the discussion on this one. I'm sorry I missed that. What other things would a PA be holding somebody from school for other than being sick?
I know that one of the reasons that we, and anybody can correct me, but one of the reasons that we allowed for school choice in elementary school is because people would doctor shop or provider shop to get someone to say that their child needs to go from this middle school or this school to that school because of some reason. And so Dr. Schloman at the time thought that it was just kind of disingenuous, and rather than play that kind of game, that we would just allow. And so that is an example of, it's not so much the child is sick, but it's saying, oh, this child needs to have this. Just by putting two other categories in there, I just didn't think that we were fulfilling our duty to make sure that children were in school. It bothers me, so. Does anybody have anything else to say on that one? No? Ms. Ratcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
And she says no. Motion carries, but thank you for the conversation. The second item is the Spectrum Senior Living Annexation Agreement. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Linkemer?
Second.
And Mr. McNally? This is because it's an annexation agreement relative to the senior center up in our it's a little parcel of land that we sold to allow them to put in roads. Are we prepared to have any more of a presentation on it?
I don't think there's a presentation to do on the same thing.
No, there's not. I mean, this is a follow-up from the sale of the less than 1 acre did to Spectrum several months ago. These annexation documents are required for signature in order for them to move forward and actually start the building process. So we, in effect, if we don't pass this and don't sign it, then we essentially need to return the money because they're not going to be able to build.
Right.
So this is basically an egress question, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes. And since it's we were told that the Business Services, since this is an annexation agreement, it's better placed in the 4A action category than consent. Okay. I think that explains it. Any other conversation? No? Ms. Retcher, will you take the roll, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the Thompson Middle School St. Charles Park District Intergovernmental Agreement. May I have a motion? Mrs. Linkemer?
Second.
Ms. Fairgreave is our second. We're going to have a little presentation about what this agreement involves.
Thank you. I'm going to attempt to do something I've never done before. So this presentation is intended to cover items C, D, and E. While it's most important for the Park District Intergovernmental Agreement, it also is going to touch upon the actual synthetic change order and the Park District, I'm sorry, not the Park District, and the synthetic, the polyurethane track on the field. So You as a Board of Education asked us to look into the possibility of this several months ago to provide some kind of a partnership for the Thompson Field. The project was specified to have both a natural grass surface and an asphalt track as it went out to bid. As you may recall, we were kind of beholden to this $50 million budget between both Thompson and Redling Middle School. And before those bids came in, we had no idea where the Thompson project was going to end up. It did end up coming in under budget. We're now currently tracking at a number of $47.1 million as opposed to the $50 million. So given the fact that we are under budget, you as a board asked us to explore this a little further. And certainly a partnership with the Park District potentially for use of that field made some sense. Of course, cost sharing would be part of that. And then we discussed a little bit the terms of what that might mean in terms of costs now versus later. So if we were to do that project now and include the synthetic turf now, we would see a savings on the site work of about $26,295 as opposed to coming back 3 or 4 years from now and doing that synthetic surface. Additionally, cost of materials go up, cost of labor goes up, so all of those costs would increase as time goes on. So doing it now does provide a better cost than to come back several years. Most importantly, this is the week the contractor needs to know what we're going to do. We're kind of at the end of the timeline for that decision, so tonight's board meeting falls in line with that, and then tomorrow night the Park District will also have on their agenda, presuming you approve, to look at the contract and move forward on their end. And should they decide to do that, then we would be able to notify the contractor of both the change order for the field and potentially the change order on the track surface. So each of these items is C, D, and E are actually could be passed or approved independent of each other, other than it doesn't make a lot of sense to pass the agreement if you're not going to do the turf. But each of them could be independently approved by you. In terms of the dollars and cents of this, the track field proposal, when we look at the turf material itself, this material includes both the pad that goes underneath as well as the synthetic surface that goes above it. We looked at multiple options from multiple vendors, and you as a board gave us feedback that it was more important to have a consistent product. So we've put in the project the Kiefer product, which you see you approved at North and at East High School. That will certainly make maintenance of the field easier, and certainly it's a quality product. I do want to note that when it comes to the safety of that product, it's the same level and quality of pad. It's the same EcoFill that we've talked about before, so it's all that's the same. The only real difference is it doesn't have some of the bells and whistles. We're not going to get some middle, big logo in the middle of it. We're not talking about, end zone colorings and things like we did at the high school level. This is a fairly plain and basic field because it's at a middle school. District 303 would pay the cost entirely up front as part of the construction project. When we look at the track proposal, this is the upgrade from an asphalt track to a polyurethane material. That cost is $132,825. The Park District has no interest in terms of the intergovernmental agreement in accessing that track. So that's really that cost would be borne by the district in its entirety. So some of the outcomes of the proposal, and there's a lot in there, so I'm just going to hit the high notes on the proposal. Again, the approach here was that the district pays the initial cost up front, part of the construction project, and that was done to provide sole ownership and provide flexibility for the use in our schools and make sure that we have addressed the needs within our district, and then looked at the Park District and how they can help supplement some of the costs associated with it. Important to the conversation is that the athletic directors did note a need, or I guess need may be strong, certainly a desire for some additional field usage, particularly in the summers. So we didn't have that in the conversation at the beginning in the front stage of the Park District, but they were more than amenable to willing to let us to do that. Monday through Thursday before 1 p.m. in the summers, the field would still be accessed by the school district, and every other time in the summer would essentially be the Park District's usage. During the school year, it would be the school district's usage other than Saturdays after 1 o'clock, Sundays all day, and then school holidays. Park District would have access to it. And that's, of course, intended to make sure that we cover our PEs and we cover our after-school athletic programs.
He talked about duration of the contract being important, wanting to have a longer-term contract. This contract does call for a 5-year agreement with an option to renew for an additional 5 years. There's no provision to break that 5-year period once entered into unless both parties agree to do so. So it does provide, you know, at least a little bit of stability there in terms of those costs. As I mentioned, really we're looking at this as an offset from a revenue perspective, and when we look ahead, a field's lifespan is roughly 10 to 12 years. So trying to cover the cost of that replacement in today's dollars, probably somewhere between $420,000 $450,000 is the field portion. Now, that's not the pad underneath, but the pad lasts about 20 years. The turf on top lasts more like 10 to 12. The field itself, around $420,000 to $450,000. This contract is set up, and trying to make it simple for you, but it's not the most, not the easiest part of the contract to understand. We had to get to a base level dollar amount for what the field is worth. And the Park District and Laura Badeau did a really nice job of doing comparisons, and we came to the understanding about $100 an hour seemed to be fair market value for use of that field. Then we took the number of hours that they believed they could get rentals on, particularly in the first 2 years, and that number from their perspective was about 400 hours. Given the fact that we have that field for about 1,000 or so hours, they would have access to the field for about 1,000 hours, we do anticipate that could grow over time. Back to the 400 hours. They're going to have costs, and I'll just click on the next bullet really because it's really more into here. The Park District's responsible for the site supervision cleanup. So they have overhead costs to book those fields and to staff those fields. So if they gave us 100% of their billable hours, they would lose money. So we came up with a ratio of 80% to provide both us and the Park District with some coverage for that. So at 400 hours, 80% to 320 hours times $100 an hour, if you're still with me, thank you, that's $32,000. So that's the base level contract for year one. In year two, what we would do is we'd do a look back, and we'd say, how many hours did you actually use it in year two? And we'd adjust up for years three through five. So under that same scenario, let's say they start accruing more interest and are accessing more time, they're up to 600 hours. We take that same 80% times 600 hours. At 480 hours times $100 an hour is $48,000. That would be the in effect annual rental for years 3, 4, and 5. We do it all over again in year 5 for the following 5 years. So that would be the, if we both wanted to renew, same process. So we do an actual in year 5. And we'd say, all right, now we're up to 800 hours. Take, you know, again, these are just fictitious numbers I'm using. 80%, that's 640, times $164,000. So I go through that whole long example just to explain to you that $32,000 is really a base level amount. And that in reality, you know, we've seen very good partnerships with the Park District. You know, we have a great intergovernmental agreement with their playground equipment that Mr. Baird runs. The Norris Rec Center has proved to be a very good partnership as well. If this continues to be under that same premise, we anticipate that more than half and potentially the entire cost of the replacement value of that field will get covered through this agreement. Can't guarantee that. It's just that's if we're looking to project, that seems to be where we're coming in. Oops, I'm sorry. And just concluding on this point, certainly there's a sizable investment up front, you know, to provide this really what it is, I would call it a community asset, but it does lower the potential costs for future years in operations. And I think if you think back to the North High School and East High School, we had in our calculations, what's the cost to maintain a grass surface versus what's the cost to maintain a synthetic surface? If you take the delta between those two, it's roughly $15,000 to $20,000 a year. So what's not included in this analysis and this cost is the cost savings on the operation side over that same period of time. So potentially you take that $20,000 over 10 years, that's another $200,000 in cost avoidance, so to speak. So but beyond the numbers, one thing we haven't talked about yet is accessibility, and that's, I believe, why you as a board made that decision at the high school and middle school, at the North and East High School level. Accessibility for middle school PE, certainly for adaptive PE and special needs kids, goes up. We get way more hours on a field when it's a synthetic surface than the way we currently have it structured. So at this time, if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer this for you.
I do have a quick question, if I can jump in here. Dr. Chapman, can you just reiterate for us the bucket which the funds would be coming from, are from the
Yeah, it's through the construction budget that was approved by you at the offset a year and a half ago as a board. That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe just give us a second. So, board members, do you have discussion or areas that you would like to flesh out as we look at this agreement?
The one thing I will reiterate, as I said, with North and then East, and I'll say the same thing here, and I'm sure it's going to be the case. The fact that we're using this for educational purposes, that it's going to be used, we've been told it's going to be used by the PE department during the day, that helped push me in the right direction. The fact that we're not going with all the bells and whistles, and that they're with the polyurethane track, that in discussions with people and a little research I did on my own, it's a much safer surface. Those are all things that while I don't like spending an additional, you know, $864,000 or whatever that total came out to be, it's kind of swayed me in the direction of support for this. So,
thank you. For myself, I thought, as I said at business service, well, as I said at the previous business services, and the idea came up, I thought, no, if I'd like them to just Park District to just come in as partners, and I was happy to be incorrect in that kind of way direction I was going, because this is just a much better plan. It's our property here. We will be responsible for it, but we're sharing the responsibility. We're sharing the advantages, and just as in Norris Rec Center, and how beautifully that has worked out for the school district, the schools, and the community. It's really something that will be wonderful to repeat, and I think that's what will happen here. And also, it's also done under the same kind of parameters as the two high schools, meaning the school district's going to put in the field, and in 10, 12, or 13 or more years, each booster club at each high school has to come up with half the amount of money. And doing very quick math in any direction gives us at least half the amount of money that we'll need to replace the field. And so I think the consistency is very commendable and very easy to get behind. And so I think this is a great thing for our community, really, even beyond Thompson School, but for the whole community. So I feel very, very good about voting yes. Does anyone else? Ms. Weibel, are you?
Ms. Fuel, I would concur with you. I think the potential this has for longevity to impact our community, our downtown businesses, and partners that we have across the entire St. Charles area, I think is really great potential. I think it is a difficult pill to swallow on the front end, but speaking of coming out of the construction budget that we have available to us, and it is helping for education, but it's not money that has been earmarked for anything else. I think it's a good solution. So,
thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so we do have a motion. Let me find my page. Thank you, Dr. Chapman. The motion in front of us right now is the middle school. It's the intergovernmental. Okay, I'll stick with the paper, not the computer. We're on. So this is to first vote on the intergovernmental agreement. Ms. Retro, will you take the roll call vote, please?
Mrs. Spearcreek?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkenmuth?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries unanimously. I think since we've heard the entire presentation on all the different parts, I'd like to go right to, may I have a motion on the Thompson Middle School field?
So moved.
Mr. McNally and Ms. Fairgrave. So is there anything about this that anyone would like to say? We're good. Would you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgrave?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. And the last item of this group is the Thompson Middle School track. Any discussion about that? So it's an upgrade from the asphalt track that was there.
Right.
Yes. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Linkmer and Mr. McNally is a second. No discussion. Would you take the roll call, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mrs. Stewart?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So I think the board is very happy to have this addition to our community and very happy to partner once again with the Park District, who are just tremendous people to work with. So I hope they have a good meeting tomorrow. Thank you. And the last item on the agenda, action agenda, is may I have a motion to award a contract for the Corn Elementary School roof truss repair.
So moved.
Mr. McNally?
Second.
Ms. Fairgreave. Thank you. Do we have a presentation on this?
There's not.
There's not.
I would like.
Please, because we heard a little bit at Business Services, but we're just seeing the numbers now.
Sure. As there was, in the spring, we noticed that there was some issues with some door sagging at Coron, and so there were some inspections that were conducted. Our architects were here last month, and they realized that there needs to be some reinforcement put in some of the trusses up above those doors in the cafeteria, and I can let Mr. Baird just speak a little bit more directly to what that is. This is a repair that we have to make, so we worked very quickly to get some quotes for you so that we could get that approved. We'd like to have it completed before the school year starts.
And the partition wall that separates the gymnasium from the cafeteria, very similar to Torin, Belgram, and Norton Creek. We inspect them every year as part of our regional office education inspection. When we went through it, double it as we do in the spring. That's what was determined. The engineers did a study, went up into the roof, and determined that there were seven of the trusses that weren't adhered together and needed to have some substantial work done. The fact that it's worked all these years just through the it's one of the newer schools, but it's 18 years. So as we look at it, I wish they were reinforced like the other two buildings, but they were not. It was one of the first schools built. We did follow up after Ms. Fuel's comment with Anderson to find out if there was any warranty or anything like that. And it was not.
So my question would be, the building the same school, so same plan at the same time, yet only the one has got this trust issue. Is it defective materials? Was it defective paper? Is there any recourse to that?
I don't think there is, because when we went to the drawings, okay, of the latest school, it actually wasn't included in the trusses altogether. It's just how they built it with reinforcement on the trusses going. The trusses go one way, just the reinforcement between, and that's what these are connected. The other two were, they didn't have the same thing. They were actually put in sort of after the fact. So a red line drawing might have been done after the fact, but not in this first one. We did,
so
we
it's a good
actually follow up with Anderson. They are one of the bidders that are on there, actually, that they actually sent us an email because of our time frame and the emergency mm-hmm. status of getting it done before school to be able to open and utilize that room. They said they couldn't meet our window expectation.
So are you saying that Anderson was the construction company that was responsible for putting in the trusses initially?
Correct.
Okay. And is it because it's been a period of time that they don't have responsibility for correcting this problem?
It actually was the drawing. They did it at the time the way the drawing for that school was done.
So
it wasn't.
Would you put your thing on? Thank you.
So is there a question of being able to go back to the architectural drawing? Was it not done correctly at the front end of this?
According to the drawings and what we have, they did it to the specification that was required at the time from Hestrup and Associates.
Ah, okay. Looking at the estimates here, I recognize that we are all working to the same quality and criteria, but there is a huge difference between Light Construction and Hargrave Builders, so I'm wondering if you've got any notion about why we would need more than double going from one estimate to the next.
Originally, Hargrave Construction had submitted their first quote, okay, and once we went out and asked for other people, we updated the RFQ. And then their first submission was at $48,000 after we updated the RFQ and what they needed to have in there. They resubmitted, and that's theirs came in at 104, what's listed there in front of you.
114?
114. Originally, they were at 48,000.
Okay. So we are convinced that Light Construction has everything in their quiver to do this job. And
well, the thing is Light Construction is on site right now. They're working over on the addition. I think it might help that their mobilization, they're already here. They're virtually over at the addition and at the front of the Norris Center right now. Granted, these are going to be guys that are working in the roof, but they've got a construction manager on site already. Okay, already working these other two sites.
And Mr. Good, I'd also point out, right, that Hargrave may have a full calendar, right?
Oh, so and that was their other thing. They just couldn't meet the criteria. Yes, sir. They could not meet the window that we had. I mean, they could have done it. Okay, they just couldn't meet it within prior to the start of school.
It does concern me that the drawings or whatever that were done for this school were done differently than the drawings for the other two schools that were going up at the same time. I was sitting right here when this happened, so now I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, and what's also
same architect, three buildings, different plan.
Well, it's the but two, Norton Creek and Norton Creek and Corn.
At the same time.
And the
but
same design as Belgram,
yes,
but that was built earlier.
Yeah, but it was built off the same design. That was the whole point of doing them verbatim, one
right.
The next to the next, was because it was a money saver for us and a time saver for us.
And if this wouldn't have sagged, we wouldn't have checked the other ones, okay? Meaning that HuffCor has done the inspection for years, and ever since the inception of the opening of the school, and we've never had this issue this year. It just sagged in the middle, and the weight of the door, we weren't able to, you know, open and close it. So that's why we cut away up in the top and went up, so.
Well, Lord knows we need to get it fixed before school starts. Absolutely. There's no choice in this.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion about it? Nope. Needs to be done. Does bother you a little bit, though.
It surely does.
For those of us that were aware of things back then. Okay. Mrs. Retchford, will you take the roll, please?
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreek?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Hume?
Yes, the motion carries, so that'll get done. Very good. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. May I have a motion?
I'd like to pull item B.
Oh, we'll do the consent agenda, and then I know I'm going to do the same thing. Okay, I'm sorry. So may I have a motion to consider the consent agenda? Ms. Linkmer and
second.
Ms. Fairgreef, thank you. That's second. Does anyone wish to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I would like to pull item B, the personnel report.
Item B, the personnel report. In that case, I will pull the regular meeting of June 11th, 2018. So minus items 3 and B, or A3 and B. It's a consent agenda, so we can go forward and vote. Would you take the Retchford? Would you take the roll call vote?
Of course. Mrs. Fairgreef?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries. Since mine goes first, I would just say that I would abstain on A3, June 11th, 2018, although I did listen to the meeting on recording. I was not at the meeting, so I won't approve I'll abstain from the minutes. And Mr. McNally, you have the personnel report.
I will be abstaining from the personnel report because a family member is on the report.
Okay. So that said, for those two items, mm-hmm. A3 and B, would you take the roll, please?
Do you want to do them separately?
We do them separately? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so for A3, the minutes. Would you take the do we have a motion to consider A3?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. McNally.
Second.
Ms. Fairgreef, you could take the roll call, please.
Absolutely. Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreef?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Abstain. Motion carries. The next is, may I have a motion to consider the D303 personnel report, item B?
Second.
Ms. Linkmer, Ms. Fairgreef, we can take the roll call.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNally.
Abstain.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreef.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer.
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell.
Yes, the motion does carry. Thank you, everyone. We have our usual items for information going forward. A is our freedom of information. information requests. We have the D303 financial report for May 2018 and the Mid-Valley financial report for May 2018. The last item on the agenda has to do with the seating of the determination of a new board member, and the board just wanted to make sure that we clarified or restated our thoughts and also to try and come up with another time frame going forward. So board members and everyone, that the board will be meeting in this room on this Saturday, July 14th at 8 o'clock for the purposes of interviewing the six candidates that we've chosen from a list of 14. We will meet promptly. We'll move through our day. After interviewing those candidates in a panel format, we will go into closed session and deliberate for an hour or hour and a half, as much time as we have. If we have a decision, we will come out and vote. Should we not have a decision, we will continue our, we will have another meeting on Monday. Board members, this is actually the kind of the part where I just want to make sure we all, because this is the part we haven't decided, but we know we need to have another date to continue our conversation. Monday, 5:30, an hour.
It's all clear.
It's all clear?
I am not available.
On Monday.
On the 16th.
On the 16th. Even at 5:30? Okay. Okay. L&T. Oh, that's right. Okay, because I know we have something else that day, fundraising event. Tuesday, because we can still do the vote and send that into the ROE on the 18th. So Tuesday, board members, can we meet at 5:30 if we have to? And you are, I don't know.
That's the 17th.
That's the 17th.
And I will be available.
You will be available.
I will not be available.
On the 18th.
On the 18th.
Okay. In that case, we will put on the schedule a special meeting for the board's deliberation to determine the school board, the next school board member, at 5:30 on Tuesday, July 17th. Do we have a time constraint on that? Oh, to start at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Are people good if we need an hour or two?
The only question I have is that is an as-needed meeting. Is that correct?
Because it's as-needed, right.
So
but we will post. Yeah, we will post it because it does have to be posted. And if we don't need it,
I just want to make sure that everybody in the public knows so that nobody shows up thinking they're going to, be at a meeting that doesn't happen. So
By that time, we will have decided. Okay, and then the last thing is the new member has to take the oath of office, and we need to have a quorum of the board. So if we have six members at this time, a quorum is still four. So we would have made that decision, and if we could, we have to once again set that meeting up. So we could set it up for early in the morning on Wednesday. We would have Nick here, so we would have four if it were.
No, we would not have me here early Monday.
Not early?
No. Nope.
Wednesday. Okay. How about, I thought about this the morning, the middle of the day, or at the end of the day?
I'm meeting. I am gone in Palatine the entire day. I leave my house at 8 a.m.
So could we do it at the end? Oh, that's the end of the.
And it has to be, they have to be seated by end of business.
End of business.
We should be in prayer agreement that we're going to get this taken care of on the 14th and get together and do the person taking their oath on the 17th.
Did we lose Ms. Weibel? Ms. Weibel, are you there now?
Sorry. Yeah, I lost the call.
Okay, that's, at what point did you lose the call? Because this is important that we get.
It was 7:53. You were debating days. Tuesday the 17th at 5:30 was last I heard.
Yes. Is that okay with you for
it's
that day?
It's fine with me.
Okay. Okay. So the...
I was going to ask a question, though. Are we able to swear in that night, or how does that work?
We could. So we will have to ask.
But I think what we were talking about, to Lori's point, was that we... we would anyway, but make a concerted effort to get a decision on Saturday. And then, like we had talked about, we could do the oath on Tuesday.
Okay.
This wearing in on Tuesday. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear all, you heard that then? Okay. So we, if we had to talk about it, then we would. Then the intention is to do the oath on Tuesday. But I'm just thinking, should we set a time for that? 5:30. That's our time.
That's fine.
Okay, so, but listed, it'll be listed as deliberation and oath of office if we need that.
Okay.
But we won't need it. Okay, good. So if we're good, then we're good. So for Wednesday, we can get the give that name to the ROE, and we'll be good. Okay. Wonderful.
President, before you adjourn,
one other thing on that this very topic. I just wanted to check with all board members. Mrs. Ratchford is going to call all the six candidates later this week and remind them of the time and the date and everything. And I had thought of a question that we hadn't thought of in our choosing our questions that we were going to ask. And one is, I would like to ask her to ask every candidate to be able to answer the question if they're available on August 18th for a board retreat. That is the date that we've all committed to, so that person is prepared to answer that question. So, board members, it seems like a reason, because otherwise, you know, that person could be sitting there and not really know. And that's not good. So I think we give them that little. Just letting you know what I thought we should do. Okay? We're good.
Well,
okay.
Chris, when you speak with the candidates, will you also talk to them about their availability on July 17th? So we're, okay.
Board retreat on the 18th is 1 hour?
8 a.m. to 3 p.m.? No?
Okay, 8 o'clock is fine.
Okay. We'll have some board time with IASB, and we'll have senior leadership doing their presentations and talking about what they're planning to do for next year. So that's that. Okay. So that is, I think we're all straight then on the rest of the process for seating the new board member. Ms. Weibel, did you have a question? Another new business. Oh, you know, we'll do it next month. That'd be fine. Unless there was anything you thought was very timely or time sensitive?
Nothing is time sensitive.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know, I can do the intergovernmental. Some of it is just, that is kind of time sensitive. It's just a couple things going on. Do you want me to do that one quick?
Go ahead.
Mr. McNally, if you want to jump in when I'm finished here, if you remember anything from the meeting as well, I know you were present. So really quick, in the city of St. Charles, they just wanted to remind everyone that there is going to be bridge work in July to mid-August. So be aware of that from first to first. And I'm not sure if we're seeing that yet, because I haven't been out of the house. So I apologize.
It's there.
Started today.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much. And the police department groundbreaking is 7:23 at 5 a.m. for anyone that's an early riser.
What? Do you have that right?
That's in the area there on 16th Street on the west side where Grimm's used to be. The St. Charles Public Library had a ribbon cutting just to talk about their new areas that they've done. So go to the library, check it out. And Wednesday, July 11th, which is just in a couple days here, they have a used book sale. So you might want to check that out as well. And they have their normal museum pass, adventure pass going on. They also have a 3-day printing service. So if you have something you want to have printed, all you have to do is pay for the cost of the filament, and you can have some something printed on the specs that you own. So that was interesting. The St. Charles Park District has their article-wide update, and that they're looking to have this planned on hopefully at the end of July here. And don't forget all the concerts in the park. And they have a culture in the park reception this Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. in Mount St. Mary's Park. So that's it. The housing is not time-sensitive, so sensitive, so I can update you that on that next time.
Good. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't think to ask you if you had done any things in the last couple weeks. So thank you for that.
Yeah, don't worry.
Board members, is it okay if we move that to committee reports for Mrs. Ratchford? Move it from new business to committee reports in its proper place?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. Anyone else? Does anyone else have anything? Nothing heard. We do not have anything for executive session today, so may I have a motion to adjourn? Ms. Linkmer?
Second.
Mr. McNally, second. Did you take the roll?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes, the motion carries. We are adjourned. See you in August.